Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's great. And my heart breaks for maybe like one of us who might be an Ohio transplant into Michigan. Your hopes were crushed, and I rejoice in that. But nevertheless, welcome. We're glad you're here. It's Advent season. We're excited to be here. We have a special baptism this morning. And as we get into worship, I just want to share with you, we're going to do something different. Instead of sharing announcements on Sunday morning, I just want to say we are grateful that the bulletin's back, the bulletin is back, and the bulletin contains basically everything that I was going to tell you. So I encourage you at some point during the week to just look through this. And each of these boxes contain information about events going on here at the church, and we hope that you'll take them out. Study them, and if you are so moved, call the church office or let us know that you're interested in participating in these wonderful holiday events that we have going on here at the church. In addition to that, inside the bulletin, hopefully you received one of these connection cards, and we encourage you to fill one of these out and stick it in the offering plate later on in the service. Let us know if any of these ministries speak to you. We would be honored to reach out to you, to connect you, to make sure that you are a part of and included in all of these ministries that are taking place here at the church. Finally, we just wanted to share with you this information, this card that was also stuffed in your bulletin. It contains a bunch of information about our Christmas Eve worship times, and perhaps you could stick this on your own refrigerator door, or maybe there's somebody in your life that you feel like could find their spiritual home here on Christmas Eve. And so we encourage you to take this and maybe pass it on to somebody in your sphere of influence, your community, your circle of friends, and invite them to be a part of our church family on Christmas Eve. Finally, there's a prayer card in the pew in front of you. If you'd like to fill that out, we'd be so honored to be able to pray alongside you and with you for anybody in your life who you might feel needs support and prayer during this time. Our staff meets every single Monday and prays over all of these concerns. And then there's a group on Thursday that prays as well, right in the newly renovated family room just off the sanctuary every Thursday morning. And if you'd like to be a part of that group, it would be great to have you praying alongside us. With that, it's the beginning of Advent, and we are coming close to the Christmas season, which means there's an extra twinkle in the eyes of the kids all around us, and there's a joy that you can feel sort of permeating throughout our space. And I hope that that joy meets you as you worship God together with us this day, that you experience the joy of this season and the hope and the anticipation and hopefully the peace and tranquility that comes during Advent. I invite you to stand as you're able and join us in our opening hymn as we worship God together this day.
Thank you. Good morning. Christians around the world begin this day to await the advent of Christ. We join with a joyous and hopeful throng in lighting the Advent candles, symbols of our faith and signs of God's love. Today we gather as people on the journey of peace. O come, Emmanuel, come to us, for we are lonely for God. Come, bring the peace of God with us. O come, wisdom from on high, lead us in the ways of knowledge and show us the paths of peace. Glorious shoot from the Jesse tree, come and bring life, fresh and green and lovely, to our spirits. O rose which blooms in the snow of winter, come and grant to us the blessed gift of hope. O bright morning star of your glorious creation, come and be for us the light, the truth, and the way. Jesus our Christ, we welcome you. Come and be known among us, for we want to be your people. This morning we light the candle of peace, remembering that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Join me in the opening prayer. Lord, be present with us today in worship. As we struggle with wars taking place around our world, fill us with your peacefulness. As we get busy and stressed with the holiday preparations and gatherings, fill us with your peacefulness. As we anticipate our celebration of the birth of Jesus, fill us with your peacefulness. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
baptizing Atlas, Severus, Slade, and so we invite Alex and Amanda to bring Atlas, the man of the hour, forward as we welcome him into this body of Christ and into this community of faith. And I imagine you might have some other folks here who might want to join you guys up on the altar if you're interested. Thank you, Rick and Sherry, for being here. And so we gather during this time to celebrate Atlas's baptism, and I want to share some questions with you as we gather in this space to celebrate on this special day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without a price. And so this day, I present to you for baptism, Atlas Severus Slade, the child of Amanda and Alex Slade. And so we gather here to ask you guys these questions in the presence of God and before this congregation. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. Will you nurture Atlas in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Amen. And so these questions are for all of us gathered here. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian life of faith and include Atlas now before you in your care? And I invite you to respond with the words that are on the screen. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Atlas with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Amen. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed besides chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and after the flood, you set the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea, and their children you brought them through the Jordan to the land in which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Holy Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and on Atlas, who will receive it, to wash away sin, to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that in dying and being raised by Christ, he may share in his final victory. I invite you to join me with the words on the screen. All praise to you. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. So I invite you, Alex, to hold Atlas as we baptize him. And if you guys just want to put your hand on Alex's shoulder as we baptize Alex, Atlas. Atlas, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. May God work within you that being baptized by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Alex, I invite you to hold up Atlas and present him to the congregation. Amen. We welcome you, Atlas, into this body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Members of the household of God, I commend to you Atlas. He is a brother now in the faith that I commend to your care and your support. And I pray that you would do all of your power to strengthen him in the faith and continue to support him as he grows into a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. I invite you to join with me, and we give thanks. If we have that on the screen. Incorporated by God's Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood, we are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Please welcome Atlas into our community of faith. Amen. Share with you these gifts on behalf of the congregation and the blanket that was created for Atlas. May he grow as a faith. Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we prepare for general boarding of flight 1225, we'd like to remind all passengers that this flight is sold out, and we will be offering unclaimed seats to standby passengers.
Ma'am, we're going to need to take a look at your bag.
Oh, no, I'm already running a little late.
It's not like you have a choice.
Oh, all right, can we just make it fast?
We'll make it quick. Man, there's a lot of stuff in here. This is packed tight.
Well, you know, there's so much stuff associated with
the holidays. Ladies and gentlemen,
we
are ready to begin general boarding of flight 1225 through gate 12 with passengers seated in rows 21 to 30.
Ma'am, you look really nervous.
I am. I'm nervous. I'm going to miss my flight right there.
We'll go through this quickly.
Please.
This feels like a lead brick.
Well, it's fruitcake. And I know hardly anybody even likes it, but it just doesn't seem like Christmas without it.
Okay, all right. And this?
Those are fake icicles. My mom asked me to bring them. She moves to Florida to get away from the real thing, and then she wants me to bring her pretend ones. Go figure.
Uh-oh. We're going to have the agriculture inspector look
no,
at this.
No.
What is this?
Well, that's mistletoe, but you're not going to need the agricultural inspector for it because it's not real.
Oh,
look, can
okay.
we get on with All this?
Right, we're going. Uh-oh. These are...
Chestnuts. Those are chestnuts for roasting over an open fire, you know, like in the song, chestnuts roasting
right,
on
ma'am,
an open fire.
Just the facts. Just the facts.
Okay,
let the agriculture inspector look at it.
Ladies and gentlemen... At this time, we invite passengers seated in rows 11 to 21 to board flight 1225 through gate 12.
Oh, please hurry, sir.
I'm going to have to open this.
Go ahead. It's not like I have a choice.
What is this?
That is a gag gift for my brother, the man who has everything.
I will say that this is the cheesiest thing that I have seen come from the airport this year.
I don't know whether to be insulted or honored, but please, sir,
oh,
my flight, they're
that's
almost done.
My little pony.
Oh, no, that's not a pony. That is a donkey. Oh. That's a donkey. It's from a nativity scene, you know, that tells the story of the first Christmas when Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger because there was no room at the inn.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now ready to conclude boarding flight 1225 with all remaining passengers through gate 12.
This is a special ops G.I. Joe?
No, that is a shepherd. That is a shepherd from the nativity scene.
Okay.
They visited the Holy Family in the stable because they saw a bright star and they heard angels singing.
All right, then this must be a more important shepherd. He's bigger.
No, no. That is Joseph. That is Jesus' earthly father. Please, sir.
Wow.
Look, they're almost done.
There's a woman here, too?
Yes, yes. That's Jesus' mother, Mary. Look, the last person is going through the gate right now.
It's a baby.
Yes, yes. It's baby Jesus. It's the Prince of Peace. He was born to bring peace and love and joy to our world. Peace, the Prince of Peace, okay?
Never heard it put with such clarity before.
I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. The holiday stress is getting to me.
This is the final boarding call for flight 1225 through gate 12.
Final
all
boarding.
Passengers should be on board at this
should
time.
Should be on board.
It looks like that's all of it, so I don't think you're going to have time to pack everything.
No, what am I going to do now?
Well, I would just grab, you know, what's most important and take it with me.
Oh, well, not that. If I can only choose one thing, though, it's going to have to be the baby Jesus. Thanks.
Well, sorry for the inconvenience, ma'am, and have a happy holiday.
Actually, you helped more than you know. Merry Christmas.
This morning's scripture reading is from Isaiah. The first reading is from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exaltation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hold of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who came to bring peace into the world. Amen. Well, it's good to be here with you this Sunday morning. I love the skit. Thank you so much for bringing that humor and levity, especially at a time when probably so many of us are traveling and going through God's gift to the world, TSA, you know, the wonderful folks who keep us all safe, but, you know, at times have no sense of humor and add maybe potentially to the level of stress and anxiety of holiday travel. And yet in the midst of that, I want to tell you a story about that I actually heard from Reverend Faith Fowler in Detroit during Advent one season. She was telling a story about going shopping in all of these different places. They were going from one garage sale to the next. And one particular garage sale that she visited actually had an Advent a nativity scene. And and she was looking at it for a second. She was like, gosh, something is missing here, you know? I can't imagine what it is. And as she looked closer, she realized that literally, like, baby Jesus was not there. No baby in the midst of this nativity scene. And she went up to the family and said, like, you know, I hate to mention this to you, but, like, Jesus is gone from the nativity scene. Of course, this person had no idea. She was talking to a pastor, and she was like, yeah, that's why I discounted it. You know, I'll give you a couple dollars off without the baby Jesus. And Faith, you know, if you don't know her, she's a wonderful pastor in the city of Detroit. She just, like, erupted. She's like, Jesus is the point! How can you discount it a couple dollars, you know, because Jesus is at the center, the reason for the season, and to have a Christmas without Jesus kind of takes away the whole point. I'm very grateful for everyone who came in here this last yesterday morning and decorated the sanctuary. The lights, you know, give us a sense of what this season is about, inspire hope, bring a sense of the presence of God, even in the midst of the stillness of night. And I was remembering, actually, as I walked into the sanctuary a couple of years ago, the first year that we had Joshua, our oldest son, I remember it was stressful. It was extremely stressful. I was thinking about, you know, Atlas and the Slades, and to have a child under the age of one during this season, you know, you're like exhausted, waking up in the evening, your eyes are bloodshed because you haven't slept in days or whatever. And yet, even in the midst of that, Lindsay said, you know, it's time to put up the Christmas tree. So of course we move heaven and earth, right, in our basement to get out all of the bins. This was when we were living in Birmingham before coming here to Brighton. And I remember bringing up all the bins and the Christmas tree and setting it up. And I just was exhausted because I had slept like almost none, you know, in the previous 6 weeks since Joshua was born. And I just remember thinking as I was setting up the tree, I was like, why do people do this, right? Like, this is a phenomenal amount of work. It's stressful, it's exhausting, and I'm tired. And I remember stringing all of the lights and putting on all the Christmas ornaments. And I remember it got to be late into the evening because we've been working all day on this project. And I'm just like sort of just totally at the end of my rope. And Joshua wouldn't go to sleep. And I remember just bringing him downstairs. And I was like, I'm just going to give this a shot. And so I took the extension cord and plugged it into the wall. And on came the Christmas lights. And suddenly all the crying stopped. And I thought, well, that's why we do it. I'll be doing this again next year, and the year after, and the year after that, and the year after that. In fact, I'll keep plugging in lights until Jesus comes back again. At the end of the day, that's what this book of Isaiah is all about. If you can imagine yourself living in a country divided, which is exactly the period of time that Israel was going through when Isaiah wrote this text, the kingdom that at one point had been under a single king, right? If you remember the days of David and Solomon had divided, there was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Imagine that, right? A nation split apart over ideological differences. I know that's difficult to conceptualize in today's world, but nevertheless, you can imagine that the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were so divided that at this particular period of time, they on occasion had even gone to war with each other. The violence had gotten to the point, the disagreements had escalated so much that at times the southern kingdom had even tried to invade the northern kingdom. There were accusations back and forth about which group of people was actually the true covenanted people with God. There were disagreements about how to pattern their lives with one another, what the holiness code might look like, what God's expectations were for these people. And in the midst of it all, the Assyrians, or modern-day Egypt, was in the midst of invading Israel once again. If you know the history of Israel, you know it's a people that got invaded over and over and over again. And the Assyrians wouldn't be the last people to conquer Israel either. Later on, the Persians and the Babylonians would come and conquer. And so these folks living in Israel, if you can imagine this, were looking up to their elected leaders and with great spite, imagining a day when God would finally show up and bring the ruler or the king or the promised one, the individual who was supposed to come to save all of God's people from the distress that they were living in at the time. And the way that I can try to express this is, I don't know if you can do this with me, but imagine a time in our nation's history when a group of people looked at our elected leaders and were dissatisfied with them. Can anybody imagine that? I'm imagining that some of us have a particular period of time in mind, and others of us maybe another period of time, but if you can, with me for a moment, imagine that a new candidate is running for office in the midst of that, and in them you see a tremendous amount of hope, right? That things that aren't going well in this particular time will be better with the new elected leader coming into office. And that's the kind of pregnant anticipation that was going on during the time of Isaiah. People were struggling, they were suffering, there were issues and disagreements and violence and bloodshed that were taking place, and people would tell stories about conflicts that had just taken place, people losing their lives, children being sent off into battle and not coming home. And that was the moment that Isaiah wrote these pieces, a time when a shoot, if you can imagine, a small plant would grow up out of a dead stump. Can you see the imagery of that? A tree that's fallen over and all there is a stump left. And you look at it and you're like, that's dead, that's lifeless. There's no hope in the midst of that. And most scholars imagine that Isaiah is describing Israel in that moment. Like nothing good can come out of that stump. But it's precisely at that moment of death and lack of hope that something good happens. A brand new shoot comes up. A shoot that's going to bring peace into a warring world, an end of conflict, a time when the hungry people will get fed. I mean, can you imagine the great joy and anticipation that these folks would have had on their heart for this moment? I can. And in many ways, I feel like we're still waiting for that deliverance. Even though we can look back 23 years, something like that, into history and imagine a time, you know, when Jesus was born into the world, the time when all of the hope and the tears would be wiped away from God's people's eyes, I still grieve in the midst of this Advent season that nearly on a weekly basis, I'll log on into whatever news outlet that I can imagine and I still hear stories about one group of people shooting another group of people. I still hear stories of bombs being dropped in the Ukraine that eliminate entire power grids. And people, if you can imagine, in the midst of this cold that we're experiencing, you know, here in the state of Michigan, that more is coming, unfortunately, that in Ukraine, they don't have natural gas. They don't have the ability to keep themselves warm. They don't have electricity. And literally, they're living in darkness. I continue to hear stories about folks who, you know, get shot just because they show up for work at a Walmart. And I continue to hear stories about hungry people. And just yesterday, one of my good friends in Liberia sent me a letter and a picture of a woman drawing water out of a well. Not actually out of a well, out of a dead pond. I mean, there was no water in it that you or I would want to drink from. It was just a stagnant pond. And he said, John, could you please find some friends in the United States that could help us dig 3 wells in Grand Bassa, Liberia, because this is where my friends, my fellow countrymen, are drawing water. Now, we just baptized Atlas. I'll confess to you, I went right into the sacristy here. I put this pitcher underneath the water tap. I turned on the water tap. Water came through, and I didn't for a minute doubt that that water was healthy and safe to put on Atlas's head to baptize him into this body of Christ. But for so many people in our world today, there's no tap to turn on. In fact, for them, what it looks like is walking 3 to 5 miles to get access to clean and safe drinking water, and it's a hand pump. I mean, you know, literally pumping water up from maybe 25, 30 feet down in the ground, sometimes deeper, and it's a hand-dug well, and that's the closest that folks in Liberia will get to have access to clean and safe drinking water. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to look very hard to look into the world and think, man, like, things aren't the way that God intended them to be. We haven't quite gotten to the point where the kingdom of God is present here amongst all of us. There's still children going to school with holes in their shoes and holes in their clothes. And when they woke up that morning, their family opened up the pantry and they looked inside and they're like, I'm sorry, we've got nothing left to feed you. And so they're sitting in classrooms, including right here in Brighton. I'm confident of this. And their stomachs are rumbling and they're wondering where their next meal's going to come from. And I think about all of that. And I think, you know, maybe we do have some understanding of what our ancestors were anticipating almost 2,600 years ago when they said, someday out of this dead stump is going to grow up the shoot of Jesse. And I still believe that day is coming. And I think it's the church's job, it's our mission in the world to continue with our most creative imagination to think, what would the world look like if Jesus was born into the world this day? How would we behave differently? What would we do differently? How would the world look differently? And I still hold on to the hope that that's possible. I dream of an end of needless violence. I dream of an end of hungry and starving children. I dream of an end of people getting runny stomach, which is what they call it in Liberia when you drink from one of those ponds that are dirty with all kinds of completely preventable infectious disease. I dream of an end of poverty, and I dream of an end of violence. Can you dream of that with me? I dream of a world where no child goes to school with a stomach that's rumbling. I dream of a world when justice rolls down like a river from a mountain. I dream of a world of equality. And I see that God is still doing incredible work to bring that world into existence. And I believe with all of my heart that the church is called to be a part of that great work of bringing God's kingdom into existence here in this world. And to me, that's what Advent is all about. We get to experience once again the birth of Jesus in a couple of weeks. We get to gather around that sacred manger. And I hope, just like Arla walked out of that TSA meeting, that we bring Jesus into all of the places that we go, that we don't leave Jesus at the gate, that we make sure that every nativity scene that we have has Jesus at the center of it, that we don't forget that that shoot did rise up from the stump. I still believe Jesus offers one of the greatest hopes for the entire world, not just because he was born, but because of his life, his teachings, all of the stories that he shared with the disciples, his death, his resurrection is the hope that we hold on to in this season. And so and maybe some of you have already done this, go through all of the arduous work of maybe putting out Christmas lights on your house or maybe setting up a Christmas tree, that moment that you take that extension cord and plug it into the wall, I believe that that's a proclamation. And I think that if a 3-month-old baby is old enough to understand that that beauty and that moment of turning on the lights in the stillness of night can drive out fear and anxiety and hopelessness and despair, then maybe we can still light up the darkness of night together as a church. Maybe we can drive out that injustice and that consternation and the challenges that face our world today. Maybe we too can live as a people of peace. Maybe we can insist on an end to needless violence and madness. Together, I hope that we can be the church that our spiritual ancestors imagined 2,600 years ago when the book of Isaiah was written. A hope that transforms the entire world. Friends, as we move into Advent, I pray that you'll have those beautiful moments as a family when you light up the tree and you're able to see in that moment an outrageous hope, a hope that conquers all of the storylines and all of the challenges of our day. Hold on to that hope, for that is the hope of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
All God's people said.
Amen. Outstanding as usual, choir. Thank you so much.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
You guys are really getting good at that. I want to call your attention to a couple of prayer quotes we have that are absolutely gorgeous. We're doing prayer quotes today for Frank and Sarah. And on your way out, stop, tie a knot. As you're tying the knot, say a prayer. After you've done that, sign the card and let Frank and Sarah know that we're keeping them in our prayers, surrounded by the warmth of our love and the warmth of the quilt. And now, if you would raise a hand towards the quilt as we pray over the quilts collectively. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless these quilt recipients and give them strength, courage, patience, and faith to face the weeks and months ahead. We ask your blessings on their family, friends, and the medical personnel helping them. May these prayer quilts be a constant reminder of God's love and hope, and of the thoughts and prayers of those who tie knots and say prayers for them. Help us to be reminded that two things are always with us: peace and love. The prayers we say for others wrap them in peace and comfort them like a warm quilt. Prayers are tangible evidence of the love we share with them. Amen. Now will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Good and gracious God, creator of all things, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We want to keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. In this time when we think about what we are thankful for, we remember to be thankful for you and your blessings. We give thanks for the blessings that you have given to us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Help us to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it. We pray for those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. We ask your blessings on those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We also give thanks and ask blessings on those in the service industry that need to continue to work in spite of the holiday. The police, fire department, hospital workers, and all those that continue to work to help make our lives easier. We give thanks for the time and the blessings we've had through the holiday and the opportunity to spend time with family, friends, loved ones, and neighbors. We ask your blessings on those that have spent time alone this season and ask that you help us show them your love that might make this time a little easier for them, and show them that your love is always there for them. We pray for travel mercies for those that have chosen to be with family and friends that live away from us, and also those that have traveled to spend time with us, and for the safe return for all of them, that they may be refreshed and ready to face the challenges that lay ahead. Father, we ask for your blessings and guidance for all in need in our communities, in our state, across the nation, and across the world that have suffered due to conflicts going on in our lives, both near and far from our homes. Bless our leaders and give them guidance that the decisions that they make be tempered with your love. Give them strength to make the decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts, that your love may be shown through them, that your love may be felt by others that might otherwise seek to harm us and disrupt our daily lives. Now we ask that you hear our prayers as we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you with our requests and concerns, as well as our praises of you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, and seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't forget, God loves you. Not a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Bill Drabing. I get the pleasure of bringing the mission moment this morning. One of my roles here at the church is to be the mission leader for this year. So the slides that are up here in your bulletin have a lot of opportunities. So if you have any questions about those, please see me or the people's names on there. But I was asked to talk about why I like to volunteer. And I'll use religious talk first. I'm changed by God so that I can change the earth. Well, what's that mean in everyday language is that I get a joy deep down inside of me when I help change someone's world. An example is when I make breakfast to feed down at St. Andrews, we feed the 60 people that come through there that would not eat breakfast if I wasn't standing there and helping to prepare it. That's changing their world. That's giving me an opportunity to get to know that person and doing that. The key to me is to find your passion. What is it that you like to do and then volunteer to do that? Because what you're going to find out is that you're going to be, like if you serve breakfast and you see a guy with holes in his shoes, you're going to start a conversation. You're going to find out he wears size 9.5. And next week, you're going to come back with a pair of 9.5 shoes for him. Or when we were serving down breakfast down there about a month ago, it was really, really cold morning. And I happened to be serving with this guy who has a passion like I do to want to help people. And he went to the store the night before and bought a couple of coats. There was a guy that came up in a t-shirt, and so it's below 30 degrees. He came up in a t-shirt and was literally shaking. And the guy I'm with happened to buy a coat the night before, brought it to him, and to see that guy's face, his world was changed. So John mentioned Faith Fowler. So Faith always has a saying about that it's expensive to eat healthy. You know, that the poor people eat bad food because it's cheaper. Well, I like fruits and vegetables. I really do. And so when I go down now, I go buy 20 pounds of bananas to take down with me. And when you're buying 20 pounds of bananas at a store, people are going to ask you a question or two, I promise. So I've served breakfast with people who work for a chocolate company. They bring in chocolate. I've served breakfast with people who work at a dentist office. They bring in toothbrushes. They bring more than just what the breakfast requires because it's their passion. It's the joy that you get inside that only God can provide. I like Costco muffins, and I like my diet Mountain Dew. So my birthday last year happens to be in January. It was pretty dang cold. We were outside serving, and so I had a pop and a Costco muffin that I gave to every single one person that came through that line beyond the breakfast they got, because that's what gives me joy. I also volunteer with projects that, how do I put this politely, are not my skill set. I would never push my mom in a wheelchair on a ramp that I built, but I would push my mom on a wheelchair ramp that Matt designed and told me what to do. All I did was show up, and Matt told me what to do, and I can hammer a nail. And we built a wheelchair ramp in Detroit last week. You know, I cannot change the world for everyone, but I can change someone's world. And I want to close with this very, very, very thankful truth, in that as someone who stands before you that's in need of the Savior and all my faults, I am so thankful that God does not require me to be perfect. Because God doesn't work through perfect people, but God works through people, and he needs us to be there. Amen.
Okay. So we come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to respond to God's goodness in our midst. And I just want to say a big thank you to Bill Draving, who for the last 2 years has been our Mission Council chair here at the church. And over that time, we've not only supported the Vena Dental Clinic by buying a new x-ray machine for them, but also this last year we supported the Samaritan Counseling Center. And in addition to that, we kept all of the other plates spinning for missions at our church. And Bill is a big reason why we were able to do that. I just want to invite you to take a moment and join me in thanking Bill for all of the hard work that he's done to lead missions at our church. You got the mic.
Every time we have a mission to do, there are people that show up, and this church likes to act, and it's a blessing to be part of it. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate it. Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you so much for all of your great support of missions. And at this time, in a moment, our ushers will be moving through the sanctuary. If this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence in and of itself is a huge gift to us. We invite you to take a moment to fill out your connection card so that somebody in the church can be in contact with you to help you plug in to the ministries of this church. But if this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue to transform people's lives. Amen.
Let us pray. During Thanksgiving, we have lifted up our thanks to you, our Lord and Savior, for your presence in our lives. Help us to express our gratitude through the offerings we make to support the ministries of your church. Help our offerings to do the work of Jesus in our world. Amen.
Well, as we move out into this Advent season, I can't help but think that for nearly 1,200 years, people gathered on December 24th with no anticipation of Jesus' actual arrival having taken place. And so now that Jesus has come and we've had 2,000 years of celebrating the birth of Jesus, we get to take Jesus with us everywhere we go into this Advent season. So whether or not you go out into TSA to fly to be with family abroad, or you're sitting in your living room watching the twinkling lights of your Christmas tree, remember to take Jesus with you everywhere, and remember to hold on to that image of peace. Hope is not lost. God is with us. O come, Emmanuel. God is with us. Go out into the world with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.